It's like a little sax intro.
I hope you're talking about bad at magic and not just like bad energy, like baddie. I'm talking like walk up to the commander table with that like bad energy, that little, you know, that like bad swagger. You got the, got your deck, the secret lair deck in the Chanel purse or the like the Supreme lockbox, and you pull up to the table, break it open.
I just call that tacky. I don't call that bad. I don't want to lie to the public like that. I could never.
Fair enough. Mm-mm. But you know something that you can't lie about?
What?
Where you can find this podcast. Because what? It's the truth. This podcast is on the internet in a variety of different places.
You are killing this. You are killing this intro.
I know. I'm so proud of myself right now.
I'm proud of you too. Okay. Bad at Magic is a podcast you can find multiple places on the internet. EK did not lie to you. You can find it on any platform or podcasts are available, be it Spotify or Apple Podcasts. There's also a visual version where you can see our lovely, gorgeous faces, where mine is currently sick, on YouTube. And if you would like, you should leave a like, a comment, and maybe even subscribe on YouTube because it helps us out quite a lot. And you get to see when new episodes come out in a gorgeous, beautiful premiere like this one.
The premieres have actually been really, really fun. Sit and talk about the topic with all the viewers. And it's always an incredibly engaging conversation, which is actually like a highlight of my week. It's always a lot of fun. So
it is. Also,
if you're not there, you should be.
You should be. And we haven't announced this on the podcast yet. We actually have merch available. We decided to test out the little merch area. We have a little bonfire where you can buy some shirts and stuff. They don't do hats anymore, to my knowledge, which breaks my heart because I wanted to do some hats. But we have some cute shirts like our logo, our Run More Removal. We also have Necro Baby, like Nepo Baby. Those are available in like tank tops, crop tops, pullovers, sweatshirts, and all that fun stuff. So if you want to help support the show in another way, you can also grab some merch.
I personally have the Run More Removal Black hoodie on its way to me right now. I want that for Minneapolis because I think it's hilarious.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
But anyways, let's get into this week's topic, which was actually something... For, you know, novel concept, it was prompted by Twitter. We would never.
No.
Never. This week we're talking about Chromatic Lantern and Three Mana Rocks.
But I've been pushing for that topic, but like, what else can we say other than you think they're bad, but they're not?
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the show.
And that's the show. See you next week.
Yeah. But really,
we're talking about cards that, like, we kind of hate. Actually, no, it's not even kind of hate. It's just like cards that we don't like playing against or cards that kind of just give us the icky vibes.
Yeah.
But to kind of round that out, we're going to also talk about cards that are like those cards that we don't actually hate and we think are a good thing. And we actually kind of jump for joy or kind of enjoy seeing at the commander table.
I'm excited about this topic because... Literally, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, if you had asked me, is there a commander that like specifically commander that you just don't like? I really wouldn't have given you an answer. I probably would have just been like standard like Eminence, which we'll talk about more in a minute. It's like Eminence is his own, you know, bucket of worms. But I finally found one. Literally from, I think it was previously last week, I finally played against... a deck I didn't like, and I found out that Lexton, shout out Lexton, you finally gave me my first commander I don't like.
That's a badge of honor.
Lexton from my LGS, a delightful individual. I think they said they listened to one of our episodes about green, which I thought was kind of fun. I played against their Coma deck, and I was suffering. Because the way they built it beautifully, by the way. It was strong. You got, there was a Mask with Nexus out so that everything was technically one of those little like coils. You were able to get like consistent tap down. I think there was, I think the card Opposition was also out. And it was just gnarly. Like, you could not swing. I had a very big, beefy board state with my Zipandro deck, and you could just not swing. You could not do anything against it. Once Koma hit the field, it was impossible to get rid of it, and it was rough.
Of all the decks that you played against that deck, you played, like, the one deck that you have that struggles against Koma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you played your Planeswalker deck, or if you played, like, Locust God, or even Alibu, I don't think you would be having that sentiment. It boiled down to the matchup that you happen to have.
I think so, to a certain extent. I think with, like, Elminster and Locust God, I would have been fine, mm-hmm. because that those whole concepts are supposed to overwhelm you with tokens.
Yeah, Alibu, you go wider than the Serpents.
I do. I really do. With Alibu, like, it would be, I would have to go for the player as opposed to Koma, because you can mm-hmm. make Koma indestructible.
Yeah.
And you can't counter it, so no counter spells can really do anything against it. But, like, I did play a deck that was weaker against it, which might have influenced it. But to be fair, in the past, on my stream, I've played against people, no people in particular, but just random people, who would have Koma in their 99, and I would just be like, this is brutal. And it would just
It's a finisher. It's a finisher.
For sure.
And you happen to have it in the command zone.
Yeah.
The reason why I bring up the matchup is, you know, There are a lot of commanders out there, or it's like, you know, if you see that commander in the command zone and you know that it might be just a miserable time, like a complete mismatch strategy wise mm-hmm. for your deck, that's reasonable justification to, like, maybe reach for a different deck that you have. Or if you don't have another deck, ask the people that you're playing with, like, hey, can I just borrow a deck that kind of doesn't get hosed just completely and utterly naturally by sheer existence? I don't think that that's unreasonable. So, like, there is a lesson to be learned from not liking Koma. It's just mm-hmm. you either don't have to play against it, or if you're going to play against it, like, play a different deck.
Yeah, yeah. Playing against that Koma deck made me realize, like, you know, like, it's okay to have a commander deck that you just don't want to play against. And, like, that's okay with anybody in general. I've seen people do mm-hmm. it, but I've never done it myself. So when I even posted a tweet about it, like, if someone brings a deck to you that you don't want to play against, how do you approach them in a polite way that doesn't hurt their feelings? And literally just say, hey, do you have any other decks if you're familiar with them or anything like that? Or just maybe sitting that one out. Because, again, if you're at an LGS, you know, setting, there's tons of people you're going to be able to play with. And Koma was one of those lessons that was a difficult one for me to learn.
But it's one that is worthwhile to learn every once in a while.
Yes.
Or remind yourself, like, hey, this is a thing that I can exercise, or this is something that is worth saying and bringing up to your, you know, it especially helps if you are already friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of having that conversation with a friend is a lot easier than having that conversation with a stranger. But it shouldn't be a conversation that's difficult to have to begin with.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. And if it goes bad, that's okay. You can just play with other people. But mm-hmm. that being said, I feel like I started off very strong. I feel like I chose a pretty big, beefy, you know, one that I'm not a huge fan of.
I can go big, beefy, and even more controversial.
Yeah, come on. Let's do it.
The card that I hate. Actually, cards. Let's go even bigger. Like, okay. I got some small fries on this little list. Let's start with the biggest one first.
Okay.
You don't like playing against Koma. Mm-hmm. I don't like playing with partners.
Yeah,
I've mentioned this on the show a couple times. I don't like partners.
Why? Because you've never explained to me why, and I'm curious to actually know.
I find that most of the time, people running partners run partners for the sheer fact that they facilitate a good stuff pile more than a very, like, directed strategy. This is mm-hmm. like partner with withstanding. Like, Sylvia and Korvath very much want you building a dragon and a knight's deck. But there's mm-hmm. a big difference between Sylvia and Korvath and then, like, Timna and Thrasios. I don't really know how to evaluate a deck when I see it sit down at a table, when I see, like, Timna, Thrasios in the commands. And, like, you could be doing anything. Versus if I see, like, let's say I see Atraxa in the command zone, which is the same color combination, I have a better idea of, like, what you're going to be trying to do with your strategy just by seeing your commander. And that's not to say that, like, I only want to play against, like, one-dimensional, completely telegraphed decks. It's just mm-hmm. I find that the conversation before the game is a lot more difficult to have against a partner deck than it is against, like, a straightforward kind of deck.
So you're saying like you feel like there is, and correct me again if I'm interpreting this wrong, but that you feel like partners kind of give this sort of shroud of anonymity to a yeah. deck's kind of trajectory, as opposed to some of the other more popular, maybe saltier commanders that we are more familiar with. Because like yeah, if you see basically. Like an Ur-Dragon deck on the field, you're like, okay, well, I know what this is about. Versus like if you see like Timna and Tana, you're like, well, is this Blood Pod or is this something different?
Joey's Commander deck.
Yeah.
Is this the same Ur-Dragon deck, but it's Timna Tana in the command zone?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay, I see what you're saying. It's hard to understand out of the gate. Because like usually when you see someone's commander, you kind of have an understanding typically yeah. of what it's gonna be. So I understand that.
There are some exceptions to that rule. Like I said, the partner whiffs are the big exception, but like mm-hmm. Kirk and Sakashima, I know exactly what you're trying to do. Cool. That's mm-hmm. awesome. It's just like most of the time it just leans like too generic for something that I wouldn't rather play against, for lack of a better term. Like I just don't know.
See, I see what you're saying, and I find this interesting because I don't have an issue with partners, but what you're saying makes clear and total sense, because for me, when I see partners, I lean more towards the other end of the spectrum where I'm like, this is a great way to really express your creativity because it allows you to literally mix and match to your desire and get yeah. that color identity perfect, which in itself can definitely jump into the other end of like, this is ambiguous and powerful and its own crazy thing. But like at first I was like, I don't understand why you don't like it. It's a great way to kind of do what you want, but then again, if you do what you want it's kind of intense.
We've talked about like embracing the struggle and stuff like that in previous yeah. episodes, and I think just like the two color partners in particular are all mana dorks, rampers, and card advantage engines. So you just put literally everything that you could ever want to do in Commander in the command zone, and it maximizes your colors.
Yeah.
You can do anything better as a partner. Like if you were playing like Mardu humans or something like that, mm-hmm. and you decided to put Timna and Bruce Tarl in the command zone, is that just like not better than playing Jarena Kudrow, who is like blatantly a Mardu humans commander?
Yeah.
You can play the exact same deck, but I have now put a life gain and double strike engine and a card advantage engine in my command zone that I just have access to at all times.
Yeah, I feel like people forget how many partners there truly are. Because you have, I mean, I keep forgetting that Achroma has partner. Vision yeah. of Ixidor, I forgot that has partner.
There's like 60 single color partners from Commander mm-hmm. Legends. And then each of the two color guilds has two partners
yes.
for their color combination.
You also have the Friends Forever mechanic, which is technically yeah. its own version of partner. So yeah. you have that in itself too.
And those are all reanimation engines, investigate engines, like card advantage engines in their own right.
It's a lot. I can yeah. definitely agree with you about, like, now that I'm looking through all these partners right now, I'm like, actually, like, as much as I love options and I love choice, this is a little bit intense, you know.
We misquoted Star Wars last week, by the way. The quote that we couldn't remember was Kylo Ren and Han Solo
uh-huh.
on the bridge in Star Wars, but I do know this quote. This okay, is from Falcon Winter Soldier. He's out of line, but he's right. Like, partner is a fundamental part of Commander at this point. Yeah. Like, they're probably never going to stop making partner or partner adjacent sorts of mechanics.
Adjacent, I would say adjacent.
They have gotten better over time. It's just
background was a sweet spot, in my opinion.
I would still kind of put partner. I still think backgrounds are just a partner, but it's an enchantment.
No, well, it's partner, but it's enchantment, but it's only for like a set chunk of cards. You can't do a background with like Elena and Alharu. You can't do yeah. that.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's just yeah. like for that list of reasons, like I don't like partner.
That is so fair.
I'm not gonna discourage you from playing partner. I'll play against it. It's just like, just know that we're going to have some words before we start playing.
Super
a little
fair.
Bit more often than I would like to.
Excellent. I'll move into one of my next ones, which is one I feel like you will agree with me on this. I've seen, this is a card that is, again, very topical. Everyone talks about it. I've come across some people who even say it's their favorite card, which if it is, totally chill. This isn't, you know, pooping on you for liking it. But nothing makes me actually feel like just upset and salty than a Dranith Magistrate, especially like a turn Janet. Two Dranith. Yeah, Janet. I cannot. Damn it, Janet.
Janet would like to speak to your commander's manager.
Yeah, and truly, madly, and deeply, no. Like, there was a game where somebody played Dranith Magistrate after I was like, I hate this card. And I was like, I don't want to play anymore. Like it was early game. It was like turn two, this dropped. And I know that like turn two, you can have other things. And like, I guess in a way, Dranith Magistrate is like, well, you should build decks that don't solely rely on your commander, which we have talked about, to be fair.
I'm a huge proponent of that.
I don't like pieces that literally prevent people from playing the game whatsoever. Yeah. And to me, Dranith is like the ultimate like block of, oh, you wanted to play? I'm so sorry, you can't. And I understand that that might be just like my opinion on that, so please don't say this is law. But I just cannot stand this card. And I'm the kind of person, I want to know if this is in someone else's deck. Because sometimes by the community,
I think that's the only one-off piece that I'll ask about. But even then, like, at least with the way that I build decks, it's not the end of the world for me. But I tend to not build decks that require the commander to fundamentally function.
Super fair, and I would agree with you on that. But like, it's with like Locust God, it's almost a necessity. Alabu, a little bit of a necessity. Elminster, it's a definite necessity. It's just like, I build those decks to be good even without it. Like, there's still an engine there, but it's just the engine is you know, in a car that has no wheels, you know, it kind of sucks still. I just can't.
That
do
being
it.
Said, thought experiment. If Janet was the one thing stopping someone from popping off with, say, like a Miriam, or popping off with, say, something like Lathril or something like that, what would you think of that? Because those are the types of cards that Dranith is actually trying to kind of slow down and put a roadblock in front of.
I would say the reason why I dislike Dranith Magistrate is because people... A lot of the people I've played against do not play it with intent, like that intent.
They just have it to have it.
Well, here's how it's happened for me every single time, and I do mean every single time, which is why I hate this card, is because every single time I play against somebody who has this card, they don't play it, you know, before that one person can pop off that's clearly in the lead. They play it after they've cast their commander so no one else can. And to me, that feels like very bad sport. And that's why I feel so strongly about this card. Like, I don't think it should be banned. I don't think it's ban worthy. I just think it's kind of like a jerk move to do that.
All for me, none for thee.
Huh?
All for me, none for thee.
Yeah, I feel like it's just kind of a rude move to be like, oh, I'm the only one who's allowed to play. Literally, you are not allowed to. I just don't like that. I would rather it be used for its intent, where it's like, oh, I can play it before this person pops off. Like, I just think it's just a very bad sportsmanship move that I've seen done way too many times, and it's spoiled my interpretation of the card.
I'm okay with things like Dranith existing.
Yeah.
I actually do think that they are healthy when used equitably and when used responsibly. You know, it's like your mass land destruction. Like, you can use mass land destruction responsibly.
Of course you can.
Too much of a good thing. And like, Dranith Magistrate is a really good thing. So it doesn't take a lot for it to be too much. Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. That being said, we've also, like, I noticed you and I both kind of wrote down some stuff that would get put into a category with Dranith Magistrate as things that we're kind of okay with.
Yeah.
And that's just like stacks pieces that we're kind of okay with. And we're not talking like your back to basics, like those kinds of things. We're talking stuff that is like comparable to a Dranith Magistrate, like those cheap kind of efficient bears. And then like Vornklux. Because apparently Vornklux is... I don't want to say apparently Vorinclex is in the conversation with that, but Vorinclex has this reputation of being a card that like also kind of shuts you down from being able to do your deck's thing.
I would rather a Vorinclex than a Drannith.
Same here.
Heartbeat. Because they prevent you from doing things. Vorinclex only prevents you doing thing for like one round of it.
It's also 8 mana.
Yeah, and Drannith can come out turn one, turn two. I have feelings. But I see what you're saying. Like, the different categories, like, they are there. And, like, I feel like when I say, like, my pieces that I'm okay with, people will definitely disagree. And that's okay. It's just my experience with this card has been largely tainted.
At the time of recording this episode, this morning, I posted a tweet about Lavinia Azorius Renegade. Because, like, she's one of those kind of, like, Staxy, Bearsy kind of cards where I'm like, this is a good card. Like, this card actually promotes the kind of fair magic that people actually want to be playing or say they want to be playing. And Twitter has had some not discoursey healthy discussion about it, and like, it was actually some very interesting points made. So Lavinia Azorius Renegade says that you can't cast non-creature spells with mana value greater than the amount of lands that you control. So essentially, you can't just like play land, Sol Ring, Arcane Signet, and then on turn two you have 5 mana. She says you have 2 mana if you're trying to like cast non-creature spells, which is completely reasonable. It like it stops artifact decks from getting completely off the rails. But it does it itself doesn't hurt land ramp and stuff like that. So it doesn't hurt the green decks, which are theoretically the decks that people might have the biggest problem with the ramp getting out of control.
I was going to say, like, I look at this and I think about, like, I feel like this is a good thing to go against treasures with.
Yeah, because, exactly.
I mean, it kind of helps level the playing field of that if someone casts a Dockside. You can use that mana, but you can't dump it all into one very big thing. Like, you can't dump
it into... Or you have to dump it into creatures.
Yeah, which I feel like is a little bit more fair. Because here's the deal. This card doesn't tell you no. This card just asks you to spend wisely is what it's asking you to do, which I appreciate that because that second part, whenever an opponent casts a spell, if no mana was spent to cast it, counter that spell. I actually like that.
Yeah, I think that this card is the fair and balanced enabler that people have been looking for.
Yeah, what is it? Deflecting Swad, Fierce Guardianship, Deadly Rollick, stuff like that.
Shuts off all of those cards. And shuts off Cascade.
There you go. I like that, though. I like that because that's gluttonous free resources. Yep. It doesn't prevent your deck from doing the thing. It just makes you be a little bit more intentional with how you spend your mana, which is what I think we should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to
it. You
want
to know what it also shuts off?
What?
Our favorite card, Bolas Citadel.
Oh.
You're not spending mana to cast those spells. You're spending life, so you're spending zero mana.
I like that. I like that, actually.
I thought this card was interesting because this card kind of sometimes gets the reputation of a Drannith Magistrate because it is almost always strictly seen as a CDH card as of late. My question was, I don't see this card in casual commander. Why is that? Why do you think that is? And people had some compelling things to say.
I didn't see the responses to this tweet, so if I'm repeating something there, if I'm off the mark. But for me, I think the reason why we don't see this is because I don't know. I feel like people don't like seeing denial baked into the command zone.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better to see it pop up in like a piece that can be removed and put in the graveyard and exiled. Yeah. But like with a commander, you can't exile it. It'll just go back to the command zone and stuff like that. I feel like
it's 2 mana to start, then 4 mana. Yeah, and I'm happy to pay 4 mana for that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking.
It also has this reputation of just being a 2-card lockout akin to like Karn and Mycosynth Lattice.
Fair. What's the other lockout piece?
So you can either use Knowledge Pool.
Oh,
or Omen Machine are the two big ones.
I can see that.
But without those two, without the context of Knowledge Pool and Omen Machine, Lavinia is just like a hey, play responsibly, play fair magic, or at least try to. No mana cheating. No ramping off the rails with treasures. No ramping off the rails with like Artifact Storm and stuff like that. Like you have your land
I'm okay
drop.
With that. Yeah. I'm okay with that, though. Actually, you're kind of selling me on this.
I genuinely think that, like, there is this sweet spot for, I call it sandpaper.
Sandpaper.
For a game. It's not just blatantly trying to just ruin your day. It's not a full-on lockout. It's just, it's some texture to the board state. It's some texture to the game.
Well, you know, we're all about texture.
I call it sandpaper. I call pieces like Drannith Magistrate and Lavinia in like Vorinclex, or even like the two Thalias, or the three Thalias now, I should say. It's just sandpaper for a game.
Nah,
I don't think they're that bad of a thing.
Drannith Magistrate is like a rock through your
windshield. A sledgehammer?
Yeah. It's not sandpaper. That thing is literally like...
It dies to Doomblade and Lightning Bolt. It can't be that bad. Ooh, am I right?
Doomblade, it must be fine. Because everyone runs Doomblade now.
What else do you have on your list, Chase?
I think I literally wrote, I hate Eminence Commanders so much. It was like, Eminence Commanders are the bane of magic or something like that, because I was salty. Because it's just like, I bought those commanders. I had them. I purchased those precons back when they came out. I don't play them. I don't like Eminence Commanders because you don't have to do anything. You just have to, you just sit there and they do it for you. It just... like Ur-Dragon, you know, you have
by sheer existence you just get things.
Yes, and that to me, like, the whole point of playing commander is to actually play the commander. Things. And having Eminence in the command zone literally defeats the purpose of commander, because instead of playing commander you're playing 99 cards. And that's it. You don't ever have to play. Edgar Markov is worse on the battlefield than he is in the command. Just leave him there. And I remember being like, this is so cool when I first got it. And then I started playing against it more and more. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, if I see an Ur-Dragon deck, I'm not going to scoop, because they're not all the same. But like, Ur-Dragon decks are just so disgusting. I'm like, I can't. It's intense.
You wrote down Eminence Commanders. And it's really funny that we're following this up from the Drannith Magistrate discussion. Because guess what Drannith Magistrate doesn't shut down?
Eminence
Commanders.
Therefore, Drannith Magistrate drops 50% in price and is now considered bad because it can't turn off Eminence.
Drannith Magistrate enjoyers are in shambles.
Yeah.
Thinking about Eminence Commanders.
We could title this episode Drannith Magistrate players hate this one thing in the command zone.
God, I didn't realize this is a BuzzFeed article.
I mean...
Is it, though? I say this as someone who actually does want to build one of these Eminence Commanders at some point.
Oh, no.
I really like Anala. I think Anala is really, really interesting because it's just like weird wizard clonesy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you can do weird wizardsy clonesy stuff means that there are just some absolutely heinous combos that are enabled by sheer existence of Anala in the command zone.
Yeah.
And by having one mana. So I get it. I get it. There is also the case of Hellkite Courser in Ur-Dragon decks. So Hellkite Courser is this 6-mana red dragon that takes your commander out of the command zone and puts it onto the table for your turn and then puts it back.
Mm-hmm.
So for 6-mana, you can... Or sorry, 5-mana because of Ur-Dragon's discount. You can get a 6-5 and then get Ur-Dragon into play for free, get a whole bunch of triggers, and then Ur-Dragon gets put back. And it's not technically cast, so it doesn't get commander tax applied to that.
So great and fair and awesome.
Very fun, very fun magic. Very, very fun magic.
I can't. I just feel bad. I feel bad because I used to be so into Eminence. And now as I've grown older as a seasoned player, I'm like, this just feels very much against what commander is as a format. Which is why we haven't seen Eminence reprinted. And by reprint, I mean we haven't seen Eminence made again with new cards.
I could see it coming back at some point in the
future.
Don't
will that into existence. Please don't will that into existence.
But the effects will be like once on your turn. Like, or if they ever did a new Ur-Dragon, it'd be like your first dragon you cast on your turn costs one less. You know, something like that. Something that like really reins it in.
But well, there's a background that does that.
Yeah. That was their fix. There you go.
Backgrounds fixed Eminence. Changed my mind. Jesus.
There's so many buzzwords. I don't want to say that there's like an alternative to Eminence that I'm like more okay with or like anyone's more okay with, because there is no alternative to eminence. There's a reason why eminence is the only eminence or eminence-like thing.
Well, we were just Alloro, but Alloro came before eminence was a thing, Loki.
Yeah. Even then, like, I think there's more compelling life gain decks to build than Alloro.
Fair. All right, what about you? We've talked about many a thing I dislike.
How controversial do you want to get? I guess my whole list has been controversial.
I've been literally saying I hate things. I've been super controversial. You were like, I'm not a fan of partners.
All right,
and I'm like,
hate is a strong word. Just say I really, 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 really don't like it.
I'm not fond of this card.
A card that I am just fundamentally not fond of is Cyclonic Rift. Like, I gotta say it. I gotta rip the Band-Aid off. And, like, I know this is not an unpopular opinion, but I feel like my reasoning for it isn't something that's very specifically said, or it's something that people try to convey, but they don't convey it properly. My disdain of Cyclonic Rift literally just boils down to the fact that I think it invalidates every single game action taken the entire game up until that point.
Yeah.
Like, nothing matters anymore. Someone had a Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah. I can see why you dislike Cyclonic Rift. I am actually on the opposite end of the spectrum, but I completely understand your reasoning, like, 1,000%. Because, I mean, I've been in games where, like, you know, the clear winner is there, and then a Cyclonic Rift happens, and then the tide is turned, and then the other person wins the game. Which can feel pretty poopy.
It's the tide is turned, like, 45 minutes later.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Or when people don't have the win, they just do it. And
they do it to not lose.
Yeah. I see that.
There's this weird, this weird thought experiment. Well, we're going to do this real quick. You're playing a game Commander. Would you rather be Cyclonic Rifted or Ruinous Ultimatumed?
What does Ruinous Ultimatum do again?
Destroy all non-land permanents that your opponents control.
I would rather be Cyclonic Rifted.
Interesting, because I would rather be Ruinous Ultimatumed every time. Yeah.
I'd rather have the opportunity to possibly play my thing again than to lose it forever.
But you do get the chance to replay it again. You have, like, all these different reanimation kind of spells.
Now, we both know I don't do that. That is not something I do.
I've started to embrace my Black Mage a little bit more recently, so, like, that's why I'm a lot. I would rather something get destroyed than bounced. I would rather something get. I would rather something get destroyed than shuffled. You know, stuff like that.
Call me a trampoline because I like that bounce. That's where I'm at.
Whatever you say.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just like if something's destroyed, then it gets stacked up in the graveyard, and you know, kind of you don't see it. But if something gets Cyclonic Rifted, you have. Just the action of picking everything up and, like, organizing it back in your hand, and you're staring at all of those cards just there. Mm-hmm. It's like, you had this. You had the game, and someone happened to have blue and 6 mana, usually less because they're playing, treasure and all this kind of stuff. That's the other thing, too. It's just, like, Cyclonic Rift just completely gets rid of all the tokens and stuff like that, gets rid of all your treasure, and a lot of colors these days rely on treasure to kind of keep up with some of these decks.
I mean, Blasphemous Act is technically 1 mana as well, if we're gonna,
I mean,
but like,
I'd rather be Blasphemous Acted than Cyclonic Rifted.
I feel differently. I'd rather things go to my hand and I can recast them than stare at them in the graveyard and go, oh buddy, can't get anything back.
If I see like 50 mana worth of stuff go in my graveyard, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna get this all back for 6. I feel like next week just has to be us doing a whole list of Magic would you rathers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for that. But, like, would you rather be Cyclonic Rifted or would you rather be Urza's Ruinous Blasted?
Urza's Blasted every time.
You'd rather have your stuff be exiled.
I play a lot of Legends.
To your hand.
Legends is, like, kind of my thing.
It still sucks.
I play Urza's Blast.
I do too.
In my decks.
Dang. Okay. I'm surprised.
One last little thing about Cyclonic Rift. And we kind of talked about this before the show started. There's very little interaction that works to counter Cyclonic Rift. And it's basically just relegated to white and blue. Like, you either phase out all of your stuff, or you put it underneath a glorious protector, or you counterspell it. That's it.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing I could think of.
Green, black, and red can't do anything about Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, I'm really trying to think of ways, and nothing is really hitting the mark on that.
There is a sentiment out there that, like, counterspells are not fun, so a lot of people just don't run counterspells.
I don't like them.
And then, like, the list of white cards that interact with it is, like, a literal handful.
Yeah.
That's it.
I get that.
So there's just, like, not a lot that anyone can really do about it as well. So it invalidates the game all the way up until that point, and then there's not much that you can do about it when it does happen.
Yeah.
So because of that, if there was one card that I will, like, go out of my way, I will pull my phone out while I'm playing, just like, dude, I feel like I just wasted my time the last hour. It's Cyclonic Rift. That's, like, the one card for me. And it's because of those two reasons.
I feel that. My last one is a weird one. It's unique. And I texted about this.
Yes, you about did. This.
Because I was like...
You went viral on Twitter the other night for this too, yeah?
I suppose. I didn't want to. I was just trying to ask an honest question.
You accidentally did.
I accidentally did. So I was at my LGS. It was at the end of the night. And I played against a person. And she wanted to do a Rule Zero deck with sort of Urza's Saga. And so here's what happened. She asked if it was okay to play it. I was playing my Urza deck, and I was like, I was about to say, actually, I don't feel that good about that, because I feel like there's a difference between having a free land in the command zone, even with commander tax, that's still free, that tutors. I feel like that's a big difference than a 5-mana, you know, Wooburg Planeswalker. You know, I truly think there is a big difference to that. And I was about to say, I actually don't really vibe with that. And my friend was like, yeah, sure, I'm totally okay with it. Let's do it. Let's run it. And I was like,
kind of took away your agency to be able to.
Yeah. And I feel really bad about that, because I was, like, literally about to open my mouth and be like, but I didn't want to be like, well, actually, you know, like, I didn't want to do that. So I played, and I it was a miserable game. It was a miserable game, because, you know, she played with Urza's Saga as if it were a 0-mana commander. So, you know, turn one, commander, you know, colorless lands. But then when it hit chapter three, she got a Sensei's Top. And then Sensei's Top.
Like, you always have a time delay on a Soul Ring and a Mana Crypt in the command zone.
Yeah, and turn two, she was able to get, you know, Construct. And those Constructs she would consistently get because, again, this thing would help ramp and tutor you out. So it was just very consistent. It was like a little mini Golos almost. And it was kind of oppressive. And I was just having, like, literally the most miserable time. Like, there was a point in the game where there was, like, 14 constructs swinging at everybody. And I was struggling for mana that game. That was the one game where I wasn't doing well that night. And on the top of my library, there was something that I was able to play. It was like, I think it was like a Birds of Paradise or something. And she, like, chose to mill it away. So, like, and I was like, well, then I literally was like, I'm just going to scoop. But then it was just a very unfun time for me. And I was like, listen, I'm the person, I think I'm the biggest supporter of experimenting with illegal commanders. I mean, I literally was playing one in that moment. So I also felt I couldn't say no. But I was just like, this is probably one of the most miserable games of Magic I ever played. It was rough.
Yeah, I want to say, like, outside of power, I think that boils down to, like, cards that push time inequity and just naturally lend themselves to time inequity in a game, because they are, you know, like I said, on a time delay, always going to be tutoring for something. They're always going to be getting exactly what they need when they need it. Mm-hmm. And so on and so on. And I can't exactly think of an actual win condition for a deck like that either. So they're dragging, insane. The table through things. There's no, like, outside of Shadow Spear and, like, a couple other equipment, there's no way to get Trample in colorless.
Well, there's no way to get trampled, but it's also very difficult when you're playing against suddenly, because here's the deal. Urza's Saga gets you the ability to make constructs when it hits chapter two for what, 2 mana? So doing that consistently, suddenly she had 5, 6, 7 of these like 14 tramplers that she also had Shadow Spear out, and also like an Sunglasses of Urza, so she could like look at other people's hands, and also there was a Sensei's Top so she could manipulate the top. So it was a lot. There was a Hope of Ghirapur in there. I mean,
yeah,
which, you know, in my mind, I tried to, like, in the beginning of the game, before we even started, I was like, well, maybe it won't be that bad. It is a colorless deck. Colors does have the issue. And she did say, oh, well, I died of board wipes, which I suppose is fair. But, like,
but people aren't running a lot of board wipes anymore.
No. And we were struggling. And it was so, I felt so bad because I was like, I felt like I didn't have the opportunity to say no, because someone else was like, yeah, I played against it, it's fine. And I was like, oh, dang, I really didn't want to. No. I would have even changed my deck just to make it okay, because mine was a rule zero change.
But
I was like, wow. And I even texted you about it. And I was like, this is really rough. In the moment, I texted you and you were like, oh my God, that doesn't seem fair at all. And I'm like, nope.
You didn't even have to explain what was going on. I just knew. Your time is more worthwhile driving home.
And it was my last game too.
Yeah. Yeah. Should have just gone home.
And I was like, yeah, I would have rather gotten dinner. It was really bad.
I have games like that where it's just like, I know, like, from the get-go, everyone has that, like, couple of commanders where it's just like, I know that my time is going to be better spent doing something else, but I'm going to give you a chance and the benefit of the doubt. For me, that's, like, the blatant time inequity commanders, like Muldrotha and stuff like that. That's just, like, doing this and this and this and this every single turn and just running through the motions and spinning wheels and not getting anywhere. And that's kind of what it felt like they were potentially trying to do. Or just like, I'm going to make a construct, I'm going to swing, but it doesn't have trample. So you can block it forever, and you feel compelled to block it every time because you don't want to lose. Like, you don't want to get eliminated from the game. But at the same time, like, you kind of want to go home.
Yeah.
So you're just going to start. But then if you just start letting those hits for 16 and 17 get through when you could have them not, and it's like objectively correct to have them not go through. People are going to sense that something's up.
Yeah, that actually happened where I was letting damage through and you're like, well, you have this blocker. And I'm like, well, I need this blocker to
I want to go home.
Do something on my turn. And also, I just want to go home. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because I feel like that kind of conveys a level of saltiness. But like, I feel like that's nicer than being like, well, this game is horrible and I hate this and I want to leave. You know, I feel like allowing that to happen is like, it's weird.
There's a delicate dance, and I think this applies to like everything that we've talked about.
There is
a certain amount of leniency for a lot of these kind of testy sort of cards. So there's a certain amount of tolerance for these cards within reason. Because at the end of the day, like, it is a game. Like, you want to play with each other, not around each other. I think I said that a month or so ago, and it still sticks with me, and it's a big mantra for me. Like, Cyclonic Rift allows you to technically play with your opponents. You are interacting with your opponents. It's just that there is a lot, every commander player has a line that they are willing to cross, but not much further than that. And then there is a line that commander players aren't willing to cross.
Yeah.
So it's finding that balance and kind of curating your play experience with these different lines, because each player has a different line at different lengths that they're willing to go to or willing to play up against.
Yeah. And I feel like providing options is good for that. Like,
yeah.
With my example, I have that Urza Academy Headmaster deck I just finished. The only legal thing about it is the commander, but I actually have a Prismatic Bridge as the secondary swap out, just in case.
So many different options that you could play in the command zone. Yep. If you wanted to stay on theme, you got Bridge, you have the 5-color Jared Karthalian, which is fantastic as well. Like, you could technically play Sisse. Like, just any 5-color commander works then and there.
Yeah. Totally. And I actually was playing a commander at FNM, and I asked somebody if I could do Urza, and they're like, what, do you have a replacement just in case? I said, yeah, actually I have Prismatic Bridge. And they went, oh, I'd rather play against Urza. And I thought that was very funny that they were like, oh, your replacement seems to be stronger than Urza. And I was like, okay.
I think the sentiment of like having an alternate commander kind of popped up because of the pre-cons, right?
Yeah.
Because there's always that like alternate commander in the 99 that you can like play to change things up. In some cases, those are actually better than the original ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think a good example would be the Mono Black Warhammer pre-con. I remember seeing like the alternate commander in there.
There's like accidentally an infinite with Trays in the infinite.
I was like, what the heck stuff is like this?
It's even like advertised this way. It's like, this card goes infinite. It's in the name.
I just think that's really funny.
It boils down to that line that people are willing to cross. Like, Prismatic Bridge, or Urza Headmaster, which is like, the effects on there are actually like kind of reasonable.
I would say so, yes.
But they're all like reasonably balanced. But at the same time, textural bits for games that add intrigue and obstacles and stuff. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. And like, all the cards that we've talked about, like, we won't not play against you because you're playing that card. It's just kind of we're going to have to like go through some extra discussion during the vibe check.
Well, if you play Coma, I might have to step aside. I'm so sorry.
I will mess you up.
Peace and love to you. I will sit that game out and we'll play another game together, because guess what? That's okay. I'm not going to tell you can't play your deck, just like you can't tell me I'm not going to play mine, but I will remove myself from the situation because I want to protect my game experience, and I know that I'm going to be a salty Sandra if I'm playing against a Coma. And I don't want to do that to either of us.
There is always a table for everybody.
There you go.
If you like playing Karinos Blue Moon, play it. Just don't play it against someone playing a pre-con. Yeah. Play it at a CDH table. You know, if you want to play casual Coma, if you want to play Urza Saga Commander, there is a table for that. It might be a little bit more difficult to find that table, but there is a table out there. And at the end of the day, we as Commander players should be doing everything in our power to make sure that the other Commander players around us are getting those games that they want to play, getting those games with those commanders and those cards that they want to play and they enjoy playing. Because somewhere out there, Draenor Magistrate is somebody's favorite card. And who are we to deprive someone from the ability to play their favorite card in Magic?
Somewhere Draenor Magistrate is someone's commander.
At technically a non-zero % chance of that actually being a thing.
If your commander's Draenor Magistrate, just put it in the comments below. I want to know. I want to know what it's like.
Bonus points if you have crossed out Draenor Magistrate and written Janet so it sounds like a proper named character.
Ooh, Janet. Janet Magistrate. I want to speak to your commander.
I want to speak to your commander's manager.
This coupon was good before the mending. Can it still count now?
I heard Joanne's will still accept it.
Yeah, Joanne's.
As long as you have the gift card.
They're like, but this man, this is a coupon for Home Depot. She goes, I said what I said. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of Bad at Magic. If you don't know who I am, my name is Chase, also known as Mana Curves. I stream Paper Commander on my Twitch channel as well as Deck Building, which is also under Mana Curves. I write articles for Star City Games.
And I'm Addy K. Plays Cards on all of the things. I work behind the scenes with most of your favorite Commander content creators. So if you're watching Commander content out there, you're probably also supporting me, and I appreciate it. I also appreciate when you support this show by liking, subscribing, skywriting that you love this show in the sky so that we know. It really does go a long way in supporting the show, and we are up to some exciting things in the future, hopefully. So stay tuned, and we will see you next week.